We're nobody, and it's a garbage podcast recorded in the basement.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're joined by Jeremy and Vanessa Messersmith. They were both raised in Christian homeschool environments. They tell us what that was like, and oh my goats, you guys.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Molly Glover.
I'm third.
You are, well, you're not third in my heart, though.
I'm a third of the podcast.
You are a third. Yeah. All right, good. So math. And speaking of math, well, I don't know that makes any sense. It will. We'll get there. We will get there.
I'm waiting to see how the segue works
here. Speaking of math, we have two fabulous guests with us this evening in the lovely basement studios. We have Jeremy Messersmith and Vanessa Messersmith.
Hi.
So, So here's how I'm going to get to the math.
All right.
Jeremy and Vanessa, you were both homeschooled. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
That is correct. You were both homeschooled.
It's true. Oh my God, is that how you met?
I hope not.
And we want to talk about homeschooling. So that's
cool.
Math is something you learn in school.
Is it something you learned in homeschool?
Yes. Yeah, kind of. That's a yes with an asterisk.
Oh,
that's
good.
The tone of my voice. Because math is always the one that I've wondered, because if I were going to homeschool kids, math would be the thing where they would not learn it. not properly.
I often did math while watching The Price is Right. Like, every day.
Yeah.
Well, there's math on The Price is Right.
Yeah, there is.
There really is.
You learn things.
So practical math, too.
Mm. So now there are a lot of different reasons people homeschool. But why were you both homeschooled? Individually, obviously.
Theoretically, why were you each homeschooled?
Why were you, sure. My bad.
Well, I'm the oldest of four siblings, and I think my parents, the way they explained it to me was that they thought they could just do better than public schools. They weren't a big believer in government educating.
Okay.
And thought they could do it better. And so that's the reason they gave. I'm not super convinced that's the actual reason people homeschool, although I think it is maybe some of the times. There's a wide variety of why people homeschool. But for the most part, it ends up being more of a cultural or religious indoctrination more than anything.
Was it one or the other for you, cultural or religious?
It was both.
Yeah.
I think they often go hand in hand. If you grow up in a rural area like I did, it was a lot of religious indoctrination, and then a lot of, government coming to take our guns and all that stuff.
So not hippies, more libertarian.
Yeah,
mindset.
Definitely not hippies.
Okay,
the other kind of commune.
Yeah. But on the far left side, there are kind of like hippie homeschoolers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, I've also heard of them, but I've never really met any of them.
No.
Yeah.
I think I was my mother's last hope. I was the fourth child, and there was a 5-year difference between all my other siblings, and I think they failed her. And so she's like, I'm going to do this right and take all my experiments and experiment on my daughter.
Oh, man.
So, I didn't learn how to read till I was 9 years old.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
She just decided that she was just going to wait around and let me...
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't give a damn for a very long time.
When did you learn to tie your bootstraps?
Was there a religious component in your schooling?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, my mom was really great. I was homeschooled by my mother. My dad drove trains, so he was always gone. And so
that's
cool.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah,
but I'm sorry.
It's very cool. Actually, yeah. But I'm sorry. What did you ask?
The religious component.
Oh yeah. She wanted to teach history through the lens of religion, and so we started with the creation of the world, and we slowly went forward And everything was through that lens, whether it was like, you know, I'm learning about Egypt, but I'm learning about Egypt when they were being plagued, and, you know, everything was through that lens.
She a creationist? Like, did she think that, I mean, a young Earth creationist wouldn't really go with the Egypt stuff so much, so because of the,
or well, was it's it still more in the Bible?
It's in the Bible.
Oh, I suppose.
It's just
the timeline's just sped up.
It's there. Oh, well, yeah. It's just like, a bunch of stuff happened really fast, and all of a sudden, Egyptians were, you know, almost like the first people. You know,
sure.
Or close.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
It's just, I can't,
it's so absurd. A lot of the things we're probably going to say, it's going to sound like, how do you have a follow-up question to that?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird, I guess.
Did you know that it was, I mean, did you have, so your older siblings, they went to regular public school, Vanessa?
Public school. My brother got taken out because he was getting in fights. He was taken out for a few years and then went back.
Okay.
But I was the one that started from the beginning and then all the way through high school.
So you knew that there was another world.
Oh, yes. I begged my entire schooling for her to let me go to public school. That's all I ever wanted.
Wow.
Because I just had this feeling I was really stupid, and I just wanted to compare myself to everybody else. I just didn't know where I was because in the state of Wisconsin, it's not required for homeschoolers to take tests.
Whoa, hold on. Back up.
See, that was the question I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Well, it was what were the criteria that you both had to learn to? And it sounds like for you, Vanessa, there were none.
Well, again, I don't know if things have changed because, you know, it's been almost 20 years.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you just had to tell the state that I'm homeschooling, you know, and then when I got to high school, it had to be so many hours on every subject, but you didn't have to prove it.
Huh.
And so I remember I finally went to public school my senior year after saying to my mother, I'm 18 years old, I'm going to get a social security number, and I'm going to go to high school. And she was like, okay. And so then she had to prove, you know, that I had finished the first 3 years, and so I remember her just kind of figuring out and calculating how many hours. Okay, I'm just gonna write that down. Like,
oh.
And she gave me an A for everything, so I started out great.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, if she's grading on a curve.
Could you go wherever you wanted during, like, you know, because I know I went to private school, so, like, it was weird for me, but, like, I've heard these tales of if you were out in the city or if you were out and about, truant officers coming to get you. If you were homeschooled, did truant officers have anything to do with you guys?
No, but one time I remember I was playing video games in the electronics section of a Fred Meyer. when I was like maybe 9, and it was like 10 a.m. or something. I was there with my mom. You know, I went over and played video games, and I had somebody, you know, like an older gentleman, very politely ask me why I was not in school.
Huh.
That was as close as a truant ever. Truant officer ever got to me.
I don't even know if truant officers are a thing.
In my mind, they're like the dog catcher and Annie. Like they've got the thing, and you've got to prove that you can't get the truck.
What happened?
Yeah, I went to Minneapolis Public Schools, District 1 Southwest.
Did they throw you in a wagon?
No, it's a cop. It's a cop car. Just a cop.
Oh, just a cop.
The school, all the Minneapolis public schools have a little cop shop room, a little room dedicated for the police officer or two or three that are assigned to the school that kind of rotate through.
So weird.
And mostly for, like, I don't know, if a kid assaults someone, and, like, it's beyond just a school rule thing, but a law thing. They have a cop there to deal with it. And I got picked up after sleeping in and taking a city bus to school, and I was literally walking down the alley, dead ends in the front door of school, and I was maybe 70 feet away from the door walking to school, and a cop pulled up in the alley. I had, like, a weed pipe in my pocket, and, like, I got picked up, and they take you all, and I'm like, school is there, I want to be there now, and he took me all the way downtown to the truancy office.
Tim, what?
There's a truancy?
Did you have
in the city center, the building that goes over the street.
Yes, by the end.
The truancy officer was in there.
By the end of by the end of my time in school, which was...
Because where'd you go? You were in St. Paul.
I went to St. Paul Central, which was earlier than anybody in this room, I'm certain, by a bit. By the end of the time I was in school, they'd installed magnetic locks on the door, and there was a security guard who was, I believe, an off-duty police officer.
I went to a hippie private school, so there was none of that. Like, we had to sign out in the office if we were leaving, and it was like the honor system.
Yeah, we had the magnetic locks, too, where the doors out of the school only are open during...
It sounds like you're describing a prison, by the way.
It was a prison where you learned things.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, great. Awesome.
Southlight was designed by a company that makes
prisons. So I guess our upbringing was more like solitary.
And the magnetic locks were installed while I was in school there. There had been some incidents, and so it was there was this thing of, we need to improve the security in the school. We're going to install these magnetic locks. I, of course... being the responsible first child who followed all the rules and everything, was in all the... Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, fist bump for that.
Also, fist bump here. Yeah, absolutely.
Firstborn, but not very responsible.
Yeah, Nick doesn't get to fist bump that.
Well, but you didn't have siblings until pretty late. You were practically an only child.
He was seven when his brother was adopted,
Anyway, I was in all the advanced prep classes and stuff like that. So that's where all the kids who were clearly going to college would sit there and debate the teachers as to whether or not these door locks were appropriate. Of course, none of these kids were a problem. The magnetic locks
kids are not usually the problem.
when you're sitting in your advanced prep Shakespeare class, you're talking about a lot of kids who are affected by magnetic door locks.
The primary argument they used to put them in our school, because they didn't have them my freshman and sophomore year, and they did for the last 2 years, was to keep people out, not to keep any random person from just walking up and walking into a school.
Yeah, that was the argument at ours too.
So, Jeremy and Vanessa, did your parents tell you horror stories about public schools to help keep you wanting to stay at home?
What was the picture they painted?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
It was described to me, because I went to a private school when I was in kindergarten and first grade, and then was homeschooled basically until I went to college after that. And, public school was always presented as basically like a prison.
Yeah.
Kids are terrible to each other. The teachers are terrible. They're going to fill your head with these lies we know aren't right. You know, we know aren't based in the Bible and aren't the truth.
Oof.
It's just, it's going to be terrible. You'll hate it. So I was actually whereas Vanessa really wanted to go to public school, it was always used as a threat whenever I would not do homework. It was like, do you want to go to public school? No, I don't.
What?
No, I wanted to stay here in my room.
But you were the oldest. Were your siblings also homeschooled?
Yes, they all were.
So you didn't have a sibling who was like, public school's pretty great?
Didn't have any of that. And I think my two sisters were homeschooled till college, but then my brother went to high school, my very younger brother. I think my parents just gave up at that point.
They were like done. They were like,
we can't get you to do anything.
I wish that was the way it was with me. I wish that they had given up. I'm the last kid. No.
I went to this super small, college prep private school. So my idea of public school is also that it's a crazy zoo place where you're not a name, you're a number.
There's
fights all the time knives and kids getting murdered.
I told Molly a story about skipping a prep rally once, and she's like, prep rallies are
pep,
real?
Pep rally.
Or pep rally, yeah. Pep rallies are real?
I was like, pep rally in the movies? I was just so surprised.
Yeah, an assembly.
We called them assemblies.
They were, an assembly before a sporting event to
pep rallies
were
literally the worst thing about high school.
But they're so easy to skip.
Glad to have missed it. I don't really know
I didn't skip it.
It's
I was a responsible child. It was horrible.
Okay.
I could have been learning math, but instead I was
learning about how great our school is.
Hooray! School colors. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So back for a second, Jeremy. Yeah. What state were you raised in?
Oh, I grew up in Washington State.
So Washington State. Did they have rules for homeschooling as far as...
Were you inland or were you on one of those weird islands? Okay.
Very, very far inland. So kind of close to Idaho and Oregon. Have you ever seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite? It looks very much like that. And I would say that film kind of feels like my childhood in a lot of ways. I'm not sure if it was required or not, but we did do, like, I think it was like an Iowa basic skills test or something like that, which I think was some...
Vanessa's just shaking her head. Like, no, none of that happened with you.
There was some standardized test thing that was based out of Iowa. Yes. That sounds familiar to me, too.
Yeah, and we would take that, and it just did, like, you know, aptitude stuff, and you can see where you were in some kind of percentile for your grade and
yeah.
stuff. And I will say that my mother was particularly rigorous in making sure that we were always doing well. So we always tested in like the 95th, 96th percentile for.
Did you think it was weird they didn't test you on religion?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I didn't really think that at the time. Okay. I didn't really even start questioning much of that until I was in my early 20s. So it was a long time.
So when you were, did you you had to learn biology, but was it biology with the...
Okay.
My biology was a coloring book. And I had to, like, color, and it would be a number over every, like, if we're doing muscle groups or if we're doing organs, whatever it is, and I would have to color it all in. And I guess pay attention to the, you know, this number meant that it was the clavicle bone. I don't know. Oh, the man. Fact is that I was like, this is a cinch. I had no desire to learn.
But
like,
you got an A.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In coloring.
In coloring. Yeah. Like, no, seriously, all of the biology was that way.
Well, we've already learned that you learn math by watching The Price is Right. Yeah. So yeah. I think we're starting to get a pretty clear picture of your homeschooling.
There's a good scam there. So here's what we do. We set up a homeschool, right? Or like a charter school.
We print coloring books.
And we print a bunch of coloring books. And we get these kids to color them in as their homework. Mm-hmm. And then we take the color drawings and laminate them and sell them to the public schools as completed educational diagrams.
It could work.
Okay, that was your biology experience, yeah. Vanessa. What was your experience?
Mine was similar, although... I mean, I had a science textbook, but they all had names kind of like science, the glory of God's creation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it would be things like, you know, here's how we know that radiocarbon dating is false and a lie. And here's, you know, vestigial organs. If you're an evolutionist, you can't possibly believe in that, you know, because we have these organs that don't do anything. You know, none of it really made a whole lot of sense. And I will say that... there were a lot of things I really enjoyed about homeschooling, but looking back on it now, math and sciences were especially horrific, and I look back with a real sense of loss when I think about it. Like, science was something I really had to discover and kind of fall in love with, like, much later in my life, and even now I'm more of a science fan. I mean, I do music for a living, but I'm more of a science fan than I even am a music fan, because it still seems so kind of wonderful and not something that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, it's the closest thing you'll ever get to magic.
Yeah, kind of. Like, it literally is. Yeah.
It's, I don't understand how people can't be excited about science. Yes. It literally informs and improves every aspect of everything. Yeah,
it's amazing.
So Jeremy, you're really into Star Wars.
Yeah.
Did you watch it as a kid, or did you get into that as an adult?
No, I watched it as a kid.
Were there any, like, and the same for you, Vanessa, were there any, like, fictional things you were into that there was then a disconnect in what you were learning in terms of, like, there's no science, I mean, if there's no, like, did you ask questions that, did fiction inspire questions that your homeschool parents couldn't answer?
I remember one time asking my dad about viruses. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why did God create viruses? It seems like they don't really, like, do anything good. They make people sick and they die. And he was like, well, maybe they had some kind of a point before, you know, the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe they did something else, but now it's just, you know, it's corrupted nature, you know, like anything else. Yeah, I mean, it's...
One more thing that women ruined for us.
True.
Eve!
Vanessa, do you have anything like that? Like,
well, no, I didn't. Okay, so the thing is, you have to understand, like, with a lot of religious people who decided to choose to teach their children at home is that science and math, all these things, well, especially science, are lies. It's all completely wrong. And so there was very little science even taught. And the science that I learned, the fact is that you have to realize is that homeschooler kids aren't being taught. We are teaching ourselves. We are given books and curriculum, and we read them and test on them. Our parents, like, my parent, my you know, like, my parent didn't get a degree in science or math or English, nothing. But she read the Bible, and so Bible class was the most important class. And if I had any questions, they were never answered. I never had the internet. I had old encyclopedias, mm-hmm. and I had, you know, the library. And
which you'd probably been taught was a treacherous place with lies.
What I was going to say, though, is that, like, I specifically remember a time I had these, like, little workbooks, and so I had a science workbook, and in this workbook, it's, like, describing the parts of an atom, and I was so confused. So I went up to my parents, they were in the kitchen, and I was like, what's an atom, and what are all these things? And they went, looked at it, and tried to read it, and they're like, I don't know. That was it.
Hey,
that was it.
You asked a question. The important thing is that
all my questions were never answered, for the unless it was like a Bible question.
Was that frustrating? Was it frustrating at the time, or is it frustrating in hindsight?
It was so frustrating because, like, for instance, with math, I would have these books. I'm teaching myself math with really boring, you know, chapters. I'm supposed to be reading and comprehending it. Let's say I do 25 equations and I get 5 wrong. My mom would go look at the answer book, cross them off, and say, do it again. And then cross them off again, do it again. I had to keep doing it, but she couldn't tell me how to do it.
Yeah.
So I get very, strong feelings about this.
You know, I'm interested because friend of the show, Ron Bauman, you know, he's on the road most of the year. He homeschools his daughter. You know, obviously, there's not a religious.
There's an atheist bent.
Yeah. Jenna Young homeschools her daughter.
She goes to school now.
Oh, does she?
She was going through like one of those online things that are around now.
That's different.
So I'd be interested. Yeah. It sounds certainly different, and we should probably have Ron on at some point talk about the differences in your experience versus what he's trying to do with his daughter.
My sister is homeschooling, and she has 7 children, and she's homeschooling right now, and she doesn't have an internet.
Oh.
So how can
so
they
she saw, know she went to public school.
She did. This is the whole thing, is that, like, when you're being homeschooled, it's a form of brainwashing, and you are told one way to think and no other ways. You're told how other people think and why it's wrong, but you are told one way to think, and so it's very difficult to go out in the world and realize there's a lot of different perspectives on one topic, and how do you kind of sift through that?
So, yeah, the one thing I wanted to ask, so you senior year, you went to a public school.
Yeah.
and we haven't gotten to, I'm really intrigued to find out how that went.
What school did you go to?
So I went to La Crosse, and I went to Central High School. I fucking loved it. I constantly was asking questions. I could not believe that every single class had a separate teacher that knew everything they were teaching and could answer your questions. Not only that, I was amazed about the whole classroom effect that, like, you know, the teacher would ask a question and I would answer it, then someone else, and there'd be like 5 different answers, and then you'd have a conversation and discussion.
Yeah.
It blew my mind.
I suppose there's no Socratic method if all someone does is hand you a workbook and say, do it till you get the answer right.
You are not encouraged to think reasonably or rationalize things. You're, you know, like, well, that's what religion is. This is the truth and everything else is wrong. So
you're not even allowed to think about thinking.
No.
Man.
I was going to say, the one thing that homeschooling, maybe that's not obvious, that kind of deprives you of, you know, you may not have, like, a teacher who is, like, skilled in every subject that they're teaching, but you also, I mean, I think you learn a lot from people who are sitting next to you, as far as, like, having someone, oh, I don't get that, can you explain it to me? And oftentimes, like, the people in your class can explain things better for a novice than a teacher, and that's a big part of learning that homeschooling kind of leaves.
Did you discover, was it like one of those things where you discovered brains you didn't even knew you had when you got there?
I didn't even really know what psychology was. And I got to pick my classes, which is like amazing. So I was like reading about what psychology is, and I was like, huh. And then I took a class. The teacher was amazing. And then I went and got a degree in psychology at school. College. Like, if I hadn't taken that class, I would never...
You wouldn't have even known what it was, let alone...
And then, you know, spend the next 4 years trying to understand your upbringing.
How is it for you guys socially? We've talked a lot about, like, the education and the quality of the education and the methods and that sort of thing. But, I mean, a large part of what you learn in school is how to get along in society and what society's rules are for talking to people and play and interaction. How
eye contact.
How did that go for you guys? Was it rough? Lonely?
Did you have friends outside your family?
Yeah. My parents worked pretty hard at, you know, socializing. So obviously there were lots of kids at church that we would hang out with and stuff. We played sports. My parents even would drive us in to take band classes at the public school.
Oh.
And then drive us back every day. And they did that for all the kids. Oh, except for my brother. Sorry, Andy. but for all of them. So, you know, I get to hang out with kids, I guess my own age, pretty frequently. That didn't really help me being a super awkward homeschooled farm kid, but, you know, it probably helped. Yeah. What about you?
So, my mom was heavily involved in a homeschooler group. And she, in these groups, you have all the parents who will come together, share curriculum, plan field trips, you know, and so you can socialize with other humans.
Right.
Other than the adults.
Mm-hmm.
I was very, very good at talking with adults, but, like, I didn't get along with any of the kids because they're all these very Christian meek girls and, like, boys who shouldn't look at girls, and then I'm this outgoing, flamboyant, speak whatever I see, yell too loud, and
you're you. I mean, I was, you're who you are.
Yeah, and it was not the, like, the appropriate meek Christian attitude. So, like, I actually had a really difficult time with friends. I remember in college I started working at Perkins, and one of my coworkers said I was socially handicapped. And I would say that's actually a good way to.
Yeah.
I just
I felt a similar way because I went to a private school where, for 11 years, I was with the same kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my graduating class was 49 kids, and 25 of those kids I'd known since I was 7. And we'd all been in school together.
Wow.
So, which is also weird because, I mean, when you're, you know, becoming sexually adventurous and your dating pool is people who remember that time you peed your pants in when you were 10.
Yeah.
I almost said in 10th grade. When you were 10 in 4th grade. But like,
then too.
But still, it's like, so it's a similar thing. When I went to college, then I went to a women's college, so it was like my ability to, like, my ability to be social was not, you know, my strong suit. I mean, it still isn't, but that
that's probably why we're all in a basement.
When you got to public school for that senior year, did you make friends, or what did you feel, held back?
I made a lot of friends that were a year lower than me because everybody, all the seniors, you know,
they'd been together.
Yeah. And so I felt like the grade lower than me, we got along better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeremy, when you got to college, was it hard to socialize?
Well, it was
putting aside any, like, personal, personality.
Well, ideas. it was weird because I started college when I was 15.
Oh, wow.
So it was a little, I mean, I remember, I had braces, so, you know, somebody in the class just called me braces for a long while. Yeah, because everybody else, you know, does not have braces. My parents liked, they thought that public schools, there's just way too much padding, you know, in grade.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I showed up to, you know, I was excited to do 5th grade, and then they were like, nah, you're in 6th grade now. And then they did the same thing with 7th grade too. So then I just skipped grades and then started. I went to community college when I was 15. Yeah.
Wow.
You two are learning a lot about each other.
You know that? I didn't.
The thing is that
there is no 5th grade or 7th grade for me. 4, 6, 8, maybe.
Well, it doesn't sound like there were any grades for Vanessa except for senior year.
Yeah. The thing is with you is that your approach to homeschooling was totally different than mine. I mean, what time would you get up?
Oh, I was I still am a nerd, and I've always got up early, so I would wake up at like 5 a.m.
5 a.m.?
Start
reading.
And
when did you finish?
I'd finish up my schoolwork by like 9 or 10 or so, and then you go to shovel shit on the farm.
Have
or
the
do
day,
whatever, play video games, whatever
I
you
got
do.
Up at 9.
Oof.
We were very different. And I will say that the library was not a a sinful place. And I remember that.
I'm glad actually
kind
for
of
that.
Kind of my like first that's... glimpse into like pure, unfettered knowledge, and it was like, here is everything the world knows, like pre-internet, you know. So it was like,
yeah.
And I can look at anything I want in here.
Microfiche and all of it. Yeah.
I remember just getting I would just get piles and piles of books and take them home and just read through them. And like we would go every week.
It's really encouraging because like I worry that you know the idea that unfettered access to knowledge would be seen as sinful in certain you know Christian homeschool homes. And so like the fact that you both, I wonder if that contributed to where you are now, that you had access to the library and to have that outside influence as passive as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny that they'd allow, you couldn't go to school because of the ideas and the people there with the wrong or different ideas.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all those same ideas can be found or are represented in some way in a library,
or
at least are conflicting.
But there might be black people at a school.
I mean, that's
or
a
maybe
whole,
Hispanics. Who
that's
knows?
A whole thing.
You know?
My mom was. I went to a private school. My mom was all about. It was a lot of like the kids there are. They're less fortunate than us, and therefore more inclined to crime.
Yeah,
it was that kind
of
subtle.
Yeah, there's a lot of that racism.
Oh, it didn't even occur to me.
Oh yeah. Like, you don't see anybody else but people who are like you.
I knew one black kid my entire childhood who I played Little League with for 2 years. And that was it.
I wonder what the homeschooling situation is in other races. Because everyone I know who was homeschooled
white.
Is white.
I just looked at some stats on the way over.
I wonder if there's the luxury in not needing to work full-time, both parents, and therefore one can homeschool, or what that's interesting. I hadn't even thought of the racial aspect.
Did you look
aspect.
At the stats of how many homeschoolers are homeschooling because of religion?
No.
Because, I mean, I would not be surprised if that number is similar.
According to the film Jesus Camp, the fastest growing segment of homeschooling is Muslim.
That's not surprising.
So religion
either.
Still,
yeah, still yeah. religious,
so,
yeah.
A big part of it.
Religion still plays a factor, which I it's not too surprising.
I think it plays a very big factor.
Yeah. So we need to get on to five questions.
Oh yeah.
I did want to ask one more question. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, your entire family was homeschooled.
Yes.
Vanessa, you were the only member of your family who was homeschooled. But you mentioned that one of your sisters now.
Yeah.
Homeschools for seven children.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think, I mean, being raised in those environments, how did that affect the rest of your family? I mean, how about your siblings, Jeremy? Have they ended up as being more in the conservative Christian vein? Do any of them homeschool?
Yeah, my sister homeschools her two kids. I'd say it's split among gender, actually. So me and my brother are fairly, we're pagans, I guess, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. My sisters are both religious, and the one who has kids of school age has been homeschooling them in much the same fashion, you know. So it's like when I go to visit, there's, you know, hey, here's a VHS cassette of like a Ken Tam film or something like that. You know, it's very much stuff like that. On the educational front, I mean, I'm probably the least successful of all of my family members. My brother's a doctor. My sisters are both nurses and do, you know, amazing
that
stuff.
That statement coming from you is just so odd to me.
Save lives. They literally save lives.
Sure.
So
you just brighten up people's lives.
Yeah. I mean, I make it worth living. Damn it.
Yeah.
But
it's saving lives incrementally.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Spread out over a lot of people.
Yeah. I guess so.
What?
See, my brothers either didn't go to college or didn't finish college, and they're also engineers on the railroad, like my father was.
Mm-hmm. Railroad
and
family.
And then my sister and I both finished college. And
what do you think about homeschooling? If we don't have any kids, but if we had a kid, would you want to homeschool that tyke?
Like, knowing that you both aren't going to do it, like,
yeah,
the thing, like, you're gonna do it right. I mean,
but,
yeah.
No, there's like a 0% chance.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Nope.
Is there a right condition and a right way to do it?
Yeah.
Like,
is there?
Oh, sure. I think there definitely is. And like, I felt like I made the best of it. And I have, you know, homeschooled. I have a friend who grew up in the same town who, you know, went to work at NASA. I mean, sometimes it can work if you're like a genius level person. You know, you're Aaron Schwartz or something like
or
that.
Ambitious.
Like, yeah, or ambitious. You can totally do that. But then I had another homeschool friend who got a full ride a rodeo scholarship, which is not a thing I even know existed, but got one to a school. A college and literally flunked out the first semester because, you know, just couldn't read, you know.
Do you think it matters most what the kid wants or what the parent knows?
I think it's about the personality of the kid. Like, I was the worst kid to homeschool. Like, what was she thinking? Like, I just was not self-motivated. I just wasn't interested. Like,
oh, yeah.
And whereas Jeremy, on the other hand, he read every single book in the house, including all of his little sisters, you know, babysitter.
Babysitter's Club?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fist bump for Babysitter's Club.
Diane of Green Gables.
Kid. I made myself a kid. So
I would have been, I'm similar. I'd be the worst kid to homeschool. I would have been, because I was not super ambitious.
No, I wasn't either. I would have been a terrible homeschooling candidate.
I would have been one of those autonomous, like, because I'm autodidactic, I would have just learned it all myself. But I think that, like, there's that payoff. I mean, there's kids that I've read stories of kids who are gay or trans or for other reasons bullied who want to be homeschooled so they don't have to go to school. But like, if your parent doesn't know enough, I mean,
I've kind of heard the opposite. Well, and you know, it was particularly brutal for like kids that grew up in my town. If you were maybe gay or something like that, I mean, that was like a whole another level of hell. You
being
had to
in
go
school,
through. Even being homeschooled.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had friends like in youth group sent away to, you know, pray the gay away, camps and shit like that.
That's garbage.
It's horrific. Yeah.
I do have to say though, I'm very good at teaching myself. I can read a really, really dry text and learn what I need to learn from it. So when I went to college, I didn't have a problem with all the dry textbooks of psychology. Mm-hmm. Like, I would whiz through that, no problem. I was just used to it. So there is a plus.
Hey, positive note.
The silver lining for homeschooling. So maybe we should move on to five questions.
Yeah, that's
nice. Now, Jeremy, you were with us not too long ago for our 200th episode. And that means you have answered our five questions. But Vanessa, you have not. So we are going to ask you the five questions, which we... I have to, in full disclosure, say we told her shortly before the show began. So
she only looked a little panicked, so I think we're good. Yeah. I think we got this.
Only slightly.
Only slightly. But, you know, she probably can work her way through it. So, so what's question number one there, Molly?
Question number one is, what is a movie you would stop and watch anytime it's on, or just a movie you're happy to watch when you see it, it makes you happy?
Okay. This is the one question that you mentioned that I remembered and had an answer for.
Yay.
Oh, sweet.
Yes. At this moment, I want to say Wizard of Oz.
Ooh.
At this moment.
We were listening to the record
listening to the record today, and I was crying. I'm like, I need to see it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good answer because it's on TV a lot, too. Like, you might encounter that.
Is it because of something, like, you have memories, it left an impression, or is it something about the movie?
Okay, what you guys have to understand is that I didn't watch movies, I didn't read modern books. I didn't read like classic literature, nothing like that. And so I had to catch up and learn things along the way. And so The Wizard of Oz was the first time I saw it, like 6 years ago.
Wow.
We had to do a lot of catching up just media.
Yes.
Hey, what's pop culture? You know, just, we just mainlined that for like the early years of our marriage. Probably just like, it was just watch TV like 10 hours a day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Caught up on everything.
You know, like, okay, I was told that Martin Luther King was he? A Nazi?
No,
a socialist. I don't know.
A card carrying member of the ACLU. Yeah. And that's close enough to be in college.
Sure. So when I was in college, I just remember YouTubing some videos and just bawling my eyes up, realizing he was a wonderful person with wonderful ideas. So that's kind of cool that I've been able to see things from an adult perspective first. Oh. But so when I saw The Wizard of Oz, like, it just blew my mind.
Got you in a place that
I wish that I had that growing up. That would have...
Amazing.
Over the Rainbow would have...
Awesome.
Question number two is, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
can be just something that you got that's super nerdy that you like, or so the thing you would sell last, I guess, yeah. if it came down to it.
Or something irreplaceable, like it could be art, it could be...
Which is funny, because we just did that whole KonMari cleaning method whatever, and just threw away tons of stuff. And
was there something you kept on purpose?
Did it spark joy? Things.
Yeah. Oh, see, you read the book. Yes. You know. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. What sparks joy when you touch it?
Well, I guess it's not necessarily geeky in the sense of like sci-fi, fantasy geeky, but I used to own a vintage clothing shop for 7 years, and cool. So I have some very beautiful, special 1920s clothing. And beautiful necklaces and in like the flapper area.
That's super geeky because you're into it.
That's incredible.
Period costuming.
Yeah, costuming.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there's a lot that I just could not let go of because I know it's once in a lifetime.
And it brings you joy. That's the whole point.
So much joy.
Yeah, just to even that's touch and cool. hold and look. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Okay, question number three. What supernatural or fictional creature do you wish
was
real?
Deity, whatever.
Magical.
Hmm. People say like unicorns and wizards and
Cthulhu. Someone said vampires recently.
Yeah. My answer was ghosts. So I really wish ghosts were real.
It can be supernatural.
Basically, because we kind of think all supernatural
that we could just
stuff.
Worship?
Yeah, or that it's just real.
No,
like,
this is real. Yeah.
Oh, real?
Yeah. So it's going to be real.
But
you don't have to worship it. It just exists, and it's for sure real.
Is Howard the Duck count as that?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Howard the Duck count.
Like a superhero or anything like that.
It's purely fictional, not mythical or supernatural. Oh, I guess it is supernatural.
It is. It's Titan Duck, Nick.
Yeah. Supernatural. So Batman doesn't count because he's not supernatural.
Anything, fairy, pagan, anything like that that's cool that you just kind of wish was always around.
What about the golden compass?
The alethiometer.
Oh, God. Can you imagine if we had...
If you had your own spirit animal
or
companions?
What were those? Oh, yeah, the demons. You want a demon?
I'll take that. I will take a demon.
Nice.
Yeah. I just heard that was the most amazing thing.
His Dark Materials.
I love those books.
The BBC is doing it as a series.
Really?
Coming up. Yeah, they're doing it like... serialized, not
so they
even
were
going to
do that series as movies, but the movie was awful.
The movie was bad.
Terrible.
Yeah, so but
bad.
The books are great.
Yeah, we just did
the audiobooks.
The audiobooks
are
so
every character has a different actor.
Children actors for all the children.
It's so
good.
Yes. Question number four. Say religion is gone. What do you think would be the biggest problem that humanity would now face? And yes, it does sort of assume that religion is the biggest problem, but I mean,
it is.
Yeah,
it impairs progress.
I guess when we have nukes, that's religion and nukes scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, I feel like if religion didn't exist, we would all be accepting global change, and we'd be way ahead of that.
So climate change.
That would not be a problem any longer. Okay. I would hope. I think a lot of prejudice would be gone, and hateful people. I don't know. It seems like the world would be really great without religion. extreme nationalists, I think.
Oh,
sure.
That's good.
Nationalism. Jingoism.
Extreme nationalism is a good one.
Yeah. Tribalism.
Yeah. I think that's a huge problem.
Like the concept of the other.
Yes.
I think that's the hardest question.
It is. It absolutely is.
That was the one that I had to go like real cerebral on. I was like,
there's nothing big about saying just what's the biggest problem humanity faces. It's just the little stuff. It's a light podcast.
Yeah. Right,
just a comedy podcast. No big deal.
Yeah.
Our last question is, what's your favorite quote?
And this says we're not going to carve.
That's why it's great we gave it to you.
Yeah,
we're not
going to.
This won't be immemorialized for you. Like you can just. It can be something you like right now. It doesn't.
And
song lyric anything.
If you don't know it exactly, we can always look it up.
Or paraphrase it.
Or paraphrase it.
I'm a big fan
of
paraphrasing.
We'll put it in full in the show notes.
Well, Jeremy and I just went hiking in the North Woods for 2 weeks, and so. There's been a lot of, I don't know, I've been thinking a lot about nature.
Mm-hmm.
And one that out of this book we were reading that I think we both really liked was The Hiker's Prayer.
Oh.
What was it?
I think it was The Hiker's Prayer is just it was something super short, like I'll pick him up if you put him down.
No. If you pick them up, I'll put it down.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know. That's what came to my head right now.
Yeah, that's great. It's kind of like the take only pictures, leave only footprints kind of a...
Yeah. It's in that. Yeah.
Speaking of not believing in God.
Right? Yeah.
The hiker's prayer.
Yeah. Hey, but you know what? They don't get to have prayers all on their own. Like, we can also pray things.
I'm going to appropriate prayers.
Hiker's litany.
I'm taking it back.
All right, well, Jeremy and Vanessa, thank you. This has been really fascinating.
I wish we could talk for two hours.
I could have talked for two hours.
I know, it's very clear you were processing some shit.
I'll save it for my therapist, but yeah.
So, once again, Jeremy, where can some listeners might know, a recording artist of note.
Yeah.
Where can they find more information about you?
Oh, you can find more stuff about me at jeremymessersmith.com, and I'm on the Twitters and Instagrams and all that stuff.
All the social medias.
Yeah.
And Vanessa, I don't know if you want to say where people can find you.
I think I've whittled social media down to Instagram. I think that's where I'm at right now. Because I just feel like if you have to have something interesting to say, because you have to have a picture to go along with it. I know. So that's Vanessa Smith.
Vanessa Smith?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Awesome. That is really good. Okay. So we've been Geeks Without God. If you enjoyed our podcast, you could totally rate it on iTunes or Stitcher. I don't know if anybody does Stitcher, but we're on Stitcher.
We are.
A small handful.
A small handful.
Yeah.
Have they rated us there?
I haven't checked in a while.
If you've enjoyed our podcast, we've been Geeks Without God. If you haven't enjoyed our podcast, we've been Geeks Under Grace.
That's a real thing, folks. Go check them out.
That is the Christian version of what we do.
It's our mirror podcast.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So check them out. Seriously. And then once you check them out, I think that will give you a really good reason to go and support us on Patreon.
Yay!
Hey, there it is.
Because I feel that that's something that, you know, is going to help the world. The world will be a better place if Geeks with Grace...
Great,
whatever the hell that is.
Geeks Under Grace.
Yeah.
Gug.
Don't.
Just think of that terrible show, Grace Under Fire, and then remember that there's...
Anyway, the point is...
a convoluted way to remember something.
The point is, we have a Patreon site. You should go sign up for that because it'll be awesome. Once again, thank you to Jeremy and Vanessa. We've been Geeks Without God, and we'll catch you some other time, like maybe next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
This is God. You have a test on Thursday, but don't worry, it's just a coloring book.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Fuck you, fig tree, for not giving me fig.